We made no effort to hoist those at the time, because although the sea at the time of launching was rough, it was somewhat easier to launch the craft in a roughish sea than it was to recover them. And the way the parent ship was lying then was directly into the sea, and so the maximum effect of swell and sea alongside the parent ship was noticeable. The follow-up landing of troops was not scheduled for the first sort of wave of, certainly from our group, for several hours later. So we were all able to get back on board the Langivi Castle from these craft, have some form of meal, discuss the morning's activities before we started the shuttle runs back and forth between the parent ship and the beach to land the remaining troops we had on board. And in doing this, we must have been assisted by craft from other ships. We could never have done it with our four. But by the time dusk fell on the 6th, we certainly had all the people ashore from the Langivi Castle, and presumably would have joined up with their other troops in the established beachhead. The plan then was for the Langivi Castle to return to the Portsmouth area, embark a second group of troops, support troops, which we would take over and land on the beaches. Due to the decimation of our craft and the landing craft we had, we did not return immediately. Again, if memory serves me correctly, we had a standover of about 24 hours in Portsmouth while additional craft were collected, and I think we sailed the next trip with probably something in the order of about 12 craft, and with a number of replacement people, because by this stage a lot of our marines, the engineers and the deckhands and the coxswains, were still conveniently missing and had not rejoined us. By the time we arrived back on the coast of France on that run, certain of the temporary harbor facilities were in place, the mulberries and things like that that you've read about in history books were starting to be built, and instead of landing the troops by our second run, the weather was entirely reasonable, and in most cases we were able to land them at pontoons or small piers and wharves had been built out with pontoons and floats and things like that out for the beaches, so they could land dry and in relatively slow order. And by this time, transport was also working from the beach area up to the edge of the perimeter of the advance, I suppose, which by then was quite some time, or quite some way inland. Certainly on any of those reruns of landings, we had no opposition on the beach whatsoever, and very, very sporadic air. In fact, I can't remember specifically any bombing runs or bombs being dropped on any of the beaches where I was active during that phase of the build-up. I think they were, but not on our particular section of the beach. We were more concerned, I think, on the run back and forth with the probable E-boat coastal forces attacks on the parent ships, possible U-boat attacks on the parent ships, or even German surface forces in the way of destroyers getting through and causing havoc amongst the ships on their way shuttling back and forth between UK. As it happened, of course, the protective screen put out by the American and British navies, both the destroyers for anti-submarine, our own MTBs, and destroyers for anti-E-boat, was most effective. And the instances of ships being sunk by either torpedo from submarines or by other means were very isolated. I can't give you the figures now. There were some ships lost, but very, very minimal in comparison with the vast number of ships that were plowing back and forth across the channel. I can't remember the exact date. It wasn't long after, 3 or 4 days, where another most unusual storm went whistling up the channel and destroyed many of the small temporary harbors that had been built on the off the beaches, and rearranged pretty much some of the more permanent ones that had been built by the sinking of block ships or caissons and things like that. Our third run was to land our troops again, because of this, on the beach. But by the time we got there, that particular storm had blown out. The sea was relatively calm again, and the landing of the troops on the beach was no problem, other than the fact of wet to the ankles. And our drill was to drive our craft fairly hard on the beach and drop the ramp, and in most cases, being a very shallow draft, the ramp reach very close or very nearly to the actual shore, dry shore, as opposed to being sort of in water.
What were the beach obstacles? Were primarily bipods and anchored mines?
If I remember correctly, they were tripods built with one major post and then two supporting legs going back towards the shore, of metal, and metal braces or wood braces, with a form of mine tied to these, or fixed to them, just below the water level. The planning for the timing of the assault was such that one hoped that many of those would be visible, and was it was hoped that the divers and the frogmen would clear a number of these before the actual assault took place. I don't think that plan worked as well as it had been hoped. I don't think those obstacles had been cleared anything like as well as had been anticipated, and this may have been due to the weather, and it certainly made the craft difficult to handle, because as you got to the outer edge of the obstacles, the seas were starting to break and the craft were tending to start to surf, which made handling difficult, where you could not necessarily easily avoid them and steer around them. And particularly in withdrawing the craft from the beach afterwards, that many of these were not seen and run into, and the mines detonated. There had been other plans, I believe, that I heard of afterwards, that a certain number of craft had been planned to run in, extremely lightly manned, but very heavily armed, with the extent of detonating many of these mines and knocking many of the obstacles over, with very little, hopefully very little result of damage to the craft because of its armament or its armoring. It seemed to me that the obstacles were there in pretty fair numbers. They were certainly great cause for concern on going into the beach, and were as a result of a loss of a number of our craft on leaving the beach. As you'll remember, the from reading history, the reason that the assault had been delayed 24 hours was because of the weather in the channel, and that General Eisenhower made the decision ultimately the next day, even though probably the weather forecast at the time was no better than marginal. But there had been a forecast of an improving trend, and he took a calculated risk in ordering the commencement of D-Day, but as it happened, it couldn't have been a more correct decision, because for several reasons, the weather was such that we could operate in it. It was difficult. Many of the troops were seasick. But it had a miserable trip into the beach and a miserable trip across the channel for many of the ones going in smaller craft. But nevertheless, it did lure, I believe, the opposition into a reasonably false sense of security in the fact that they had assessed the weather as being too poor for the British or Americans to attempt a landing in that particular time frame. And as it turned out, the weather was just sufficient for us to operate in, and operated satisfactorily, but yet bad enough that it lured the opposition into a false sense of security. the only real solid opposition to the initial landing, or landings, that I remember reading of afterwards and at the time, was to the Americans in the area to the west of us,
Omaha.
On Omaha Beach, where they ran into very heavy opposition in very difficult terrain with quite steep cliffs to scale and to get up to establish any form of beachhead. And I believe the opposition there happened to be, to a degree, fortune on the enemy's part and misfortune on the Americans' part, because I don't think it was planned. I believe it was a group that was essentially in the area carrying out an exercise, not deployed there to specifically oppose a landing there. Our beaches in comparison with that particular one of the Americans was, from a straight geographic point of view, I think relatively easily. There were no immediate cliffs in the area. The background of the beach was essentially low sand dunes, with the part of the town in quite close proximity to that. With no major obstacle for the troops to get over other than the beach itself. And once they were clear of the beach into the dunes and backline country, they could take advantage of the terrain to get cover, whereas the Americans, certainly in Omaha Beach, were exposed for a considerable length of time before they were able to clear the beach and get any form of protection from the terrain at all.
Well, we're almost out of tape. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you might like to add in a couple of minutes?
I think we've covered the area of D-Day from my aspect pretty thoroughly. I suppose my lasting recollection is the satisfaction of the training that we've been given, and the fact that one is able to do what you had to do despite a pretty high degree of sheer fear, physical fear, in that in many cases, in fact I suppose in a vast majority of cases, it was the people's first experience of being actually under fire, but yet to find that you could still operate, do what you had to do, not necessarily my logical thought process, but by just recalling subconsciously the training that you had been given, the training you had done, so that you were able to continue and do what you had to do or were meant to do without having to apply a great deal of thought process to it. I think if one had had to rely purely on improvisation at the time, certainly for myself, and I'm sure I speak for many, many, many people, he would not have been thinking clearly. The spirit of the troops was terrific. Morale was obviously extremely high. All the people that were involved, the Marine people from our own flotilla, the troops that we carried were certainly ready in all aspects for the landing. I think they'd been ready for some months, and it was just a matter of waiting until the day arrived. And I think when it did, it was a terrific relief that here it was, let's get it over with, let's get it done. I think everybody was confident that it would be successful. I don't think anybody had any thoughts of how we are ever going to get home if it doesn't come off. I never heard that mentioned. The only